You're listening to Reach Deep with Dan Riccio and Randeep Janda.
Oh, the OEL talk is picking up here in Vancouver. Dan Riccio and Randeep Janda. We will get back into the Canucks talk after 2 o'clock. Former Canuck goalie Kevin Weeks will be joining us to talk some hockey and getting you ready for the off season. Dan Riccio and Randeep Janda, 650-650 on the text line. It's Thursday, so that means we welcome in Jamie Eisenberg, CBS Sports, NFL, and fantasy analyst. He'll take your start-sit questions for the week at 650-650 via the text line. What's going on, Jamie?
How you doing?
We're doing well, man. I loved your tweet from earlier. What NFL team with a winning record could the combined rosters of the Broncos and Jets beat right now? It's a very short list. I said the Bears, but I don't think there's too many teams even the combined rosters could actually beat.
It would be interesting, you know. unfortunately, you don't have the best of these teams because of, you know, the Jets stripping down their team. And obviously the Broncos with a lot of injuries, you know, starting quarterback, best wide receiver, best defensive player. They're missing a lot of key guys. But, man, it'd be interesting to see if you get the best of the Jets and the Broncos if they could still actually manage to win a game against some good teams.
Are you interested in starting anyone in tonight's game from a fantasy perspective?
Yeah, I mean, you know, you look at the two best players for the Broncos right now, and Noah Fant and Melvin Gordon. Gordon should get a lot of work because of Philip Lindsay expected to be out. And then Noah Fant, you know, he had 10 targets last week with the quarterback situation being bad. And, you know, hopefully they'll get at least better quarterback play from Brett Rypien tonight. So those two guys I think are still must plays just given the positions that they play. Jerry Jeudy comes into play because of, you know, injuries and obviously the postponement of the game between the Titans and the Steelers if you're stuck. Jets secondary is bad. And then for the Jets, you know, they do get Jamison Crowder back, which is nice. You know, he was a guy that had a chance to be at least the number three receiver for a lot of people. And if you're stuck, Frank Gore. You know, the Broncos' run defense has been suspect, and now you're losing Jarrell Casey, one of their, you know, guys in the middle of their defensive line. So Frank Gore is going to get probably 15 carries or so, which is must-see TV. And then we'll see how he does, you know, taking advantage of it.
Okay, this is a non-fantasy question for you, but I have to ask you nonetheless, Jamie. Overall, how do we look back at the time of when Adam Gase was classified or was seen as an offensive genius? Like, how do we look back at that labeling?
We look back and say it must be nice to coach Peyton Manning. You know, I mean, that's where he made his name. You know, Peyton's been a guy that's helped him get some of these jobs because they like him. I work with Brady Quinn at CBS Sports and CBS Sports HQ, and Brady played for Adam Gase once upon a time when he was one of his stops. It may have been Denver, I'm not sure, when Brady was with Gase. And, you know, he thinks he's a great offensive coach. And one of my colleagues, Pete Prisco, who's covered the NFL for 30 years, thinks that Adam Gase is a great offensive coach. And that might happen, but he's just not a good head coach. I don't think he knows how to stand in front of a room full of people and command attention. And I think you've sort of seen that with a lot of the comments from mostly the defensive guys.
Jamie Eisenberg, our guest. Start him, sit him for week 4. Get your questions in 650-650 on the text line. Jamie will start to answer them in a couple of minutes. So the Titans and Steelers game has been moved due to an outbreak of COVID within the Titans team. So what are we doing now? How are you looking to fill those spots that maybe Derrick Henry and Juju Smith-Schuster won't be filling for you this weekend?
Yeah, you know, it's frustrating, obviously, when you know, thought that you're going to have those guys out there and then, you know, get the news that they're not going to play. The positive, if there is one, was that it didn't get, you know, dropped in our laps on Saturday, Friday, yeah, you know, Sunday morning, that they were postponing it. You know, so you have time to adjust. There clearly are not going to be a lot of great options. This wasn't one of those weeks where, you know, there's a few standout guys on the waiver wire. So Ryan Fitzpatrick, for example, at the quarterback position, I think has a chance to help you. Great matchup against Seattle if he's still out there. Kirk Cousins, maybe if you're looking for somebody in a little bit lesser scale. The running backs that we talked about this week, you know, the guys would be like Jeff Wilson, who I think will still work in tandem with Jerick McKinnon. Now that it looks like McKinnon's going to play. Carlos Hyde, obviously, if Chris Carson doesn't go. You know, and then you just sort of do some of the panic plays like a Frank Gore, you know, just because he's going to get a lot of work against Denver on a short week. Wide receiver, there's a lot of guys, you know, so you can sort of move some guys around hopefully and put somebody in a flex spot. But, you know, you look at Cole Beasley for the Bills, he's getting a lot of targets. John Brown is banged up. You have Greg Ward with the Eagles. They're really banged up in their wide receiver core. Hunter Renfro, you know, so there are guys that are going to get a lot of opportunities if they can take advantage of it. So, again, they're not Juju Smith-Schuster. They're not Derrick Henry. They're not James Conner. But they can still get you some points and hopefully maybe give you a surprise play or two.
Well, you mentioned Philadelphia there, Greg Ward, his quarterback, Carson Wentz. I asked him about him last week as well. Are we officially out on Carson Wentz after that game against the Bengals, or are we still in it?
I think you have to be out. You know, it's not just a matter of him at this point. It's a matter of who's helping him. So it doesn't look like he's going to have DeSean Jackson this week. I don't know if Alshon Jeffery's ready. He just loses Dallas Goedert. Offensive line is banged up again. And so there's only so much he could do. So it's just that he plays a position that there's a lot of other players that can help you. And so, you know, you've seen it now for a three-week sample size that it took overtime for him to just get to 23 fantasy points. I don't know how many times he's going to, you know, run to the level that we saw last week. So, you know, maybe at some point we come back to him later in the year, but, you know, you got to move on to Carson Wentz right now.
Jamie Eisenberg, our guest. Keep your questions coming in. 650-650. He'll answer them. CBS Sports NFL Fantasy Football Analyst. The Cleveland Browns, do you just have to kind of write off everybody else in that offense outside of Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt? I guess you're still starting Odell Beckham, but he's certainly not bringing you the value you thought you'd get on draft day.
No, he is not. He has not been a good return of investment guy. But this is a very interesting week because, you know, they're going to play Dallas, and that offense for the Cowboys should put up points. So we've only seen them really in one game chasing points, and it was against a defense that, unless you're the Chiefs, the Ravens are going to shut down most teams. So, you know, now we get the sort of sample size that I think we're looking for from Beckham, from Baker Mayfield if you need a quarterback, from Jarvis Landry, depending on your wide receiver situation. Chasing points against a defense that they could have success throwing against. So I'm moderately excited about Beckham. Landry sort of more so by default, again, just looking at the targets rise for him. But, you know, if the Browns go into Dallas and, you know, their run game is just dominant, then you're going to get probably 25 pass attempts for Baker Mayfield, not much from the receivers. But if the Cowboys offense puts up a big number early and they're chasing points, then the targets go up and Odell Beckham should be fine.
Get those submissions in, 650-650. We're going to ask your questions to Jamie Eisenberg here in a couple of minutes. But before we do that, Jamie, Rex Burkhead has a monster game last week. This is always a touchy subject with New England, but is he the back to trust for the Patriots?
You know, he would have been if James White was not with the team. And we don't know what role White is going to play. You know, he obviously had the tragic situation losing his father and his mother, you know, also getting injured in a car accident. And so he's back with the team this week. You know, you're not going to get much information on what his role will be, obviously, because of the Patriots. But if you didn't have James White and it was Rex Burkhead, and the Patriots could decide, you know what, you know, we're glad James is back with us, but we're going to give him another week to sort of, you know, get his mind right and be ready for football. You know, in that James White role, because, I mean, let's figure a game script, right? They're going into Arrowhead Stadium against the best offense in the NFL and the best quarterback in the NFL, you're probably going to be chasing points. And so pass-catching running back has a chance to play well. So if there's no James White, then I like Rex Burkhead a lot. If there is James White, then Burkhead is just kind of a dart-throw flex play.
Old man Adrian Peterson, is he still got lots left in the tank with Detroit? When are they turning the ball over to DeAndre Swift?
I think this is going to end up being more of a Swift week than a Peterson week. Again, it's, you know, looking at how the game should go. So if the Lions are chasing points, which is what they were basically doing for, you know, a good portion of the first 2.5 weeks of the season, then you're going to see Swift be more involved. When they're playing with a lead or have the chance to play with the lead, you know, they're going to be in a better spot. So, like, look at week one, for example. You know, they were working DeAndre Swift in with Peterson. Peterson had a very good game against the Bears. And then when the game slipped at the end, it was a lot of DeAndre Swift. You know, game two, it was a similar, you know, sort of scenario for the Lions. And then game three, they were, you know, playing with the Cardinals and able to, you know, stay in the game and then play with the lead. And so Peterson had an opportunity to get, you know, 15 to 20 carries. Like, that's kind of how the game is, you know, going to be for him. I still think we're going to see Swift because the Saints probably put up a lead against the Lions, even in Detroit. And then Swift is the pass-catching guy. So I don't have a lot of faith in Adrian Peterson, but he's in that, you know, sort of Frank Gore, you know, Sony Michel, Jordan Howard, you know, guys that you sort of need a touchdown. You need, you know, them to be getting work on the ground, but there's just not a lot of upside. So Peterson's the best back group when he's doing things the right way. But for this week, I'm just not so sold on him doing a good job against that Saints defense.
All right, Jamie Eisenberg, 650-650 on the text line to get your questions in for the CBS Sports Fantasy Football Analyst Start and Sit for Week 4 in the NFL. This one comes in. You have to start two, Adam Thielen, David Johnson, or Stephon Diggs.
I'm going to sit Adam Thielen. You know, Diggs should be awesome against the Raiders, and I think, you know, just in terms of Thielen, what we saw last week, you know, Justin Jefferson is not going to be the lead receiver, but he took away targets, and so you want to see Thielen sort of come back into that role. But I think, you know, hopefully David Johnson keeps things going when the schedule gets lighter, which it is right now.
All right, we got another question here from John in White Rock for a wide receiver 3 half-point PPR league: Greg Ward or Preston Williams?
I love the setup for Preston Williams. I think that the Dolphins are going to actually, you know, put up some points here. If you want to see some staggering numbers, go take a look at how far away the Seahawks are in terms of allowing production to opposing wide receivers. The catches are just astronomical. The yards are crazy. They're actually 400 yards worse than the next closest team in terms of what receivers have done against them. So I think Preston Williams is in a great spot. Devontae Parker is in a great spot. I think Greg Ward's going to get a lot of targets. He's got a good opportunity, but I like the Dolphins a lot this week.
Jason in Mount Pleasant, Jamison Crowder or Marvin Jones Jr.?
PPR, I'll go with Crowder playing tonight, but, you know, non-PPR, I think Marvin Jones has a better chance to score. It's just a matter of, do you want to trust the Jets? And that's always something that people will probably say no. And the fact that he's not 100%, you know, is a little bit tough to trust. But, you know, again, it's a guy. It's finding the first guy, the best guy in a passing attack versus the second guy in a passing attack. So you got to ask yourself that question. For me, it'll come down to format. So PPR Crowder, non PPR Jones.
All right, and finally, we got a QB question. You go Dak Prescott or Aaron Rodgers?
Man, that's a tough call. I'll try to trade one of those guys if you can. I'd play Dak facing, you know, a Brown secondary. I think Denzel Ward's banged up. I haven't seen the injury report today. But he's just been, you know, fantastic, and he leads the NFL in pass attempts. So Rodgers has been great as well. If you want a deciding factor, you could see if Devontae Adams is going to play Monday night. But I think for right now, I'd go with Dak Prescott, just with the chance for him having a higher ceiling.
And one final one, another QB question. Gardner Minshew, Cam Newton, or Matt Stafford?
I'd go Cam. You know, I think we saw the Chiefs have a great game plan against Lamar Jackson, and we'll see how they, you know, come back with another mobile quarterback who can beat them with their legs. But Cam right now is just playing at a different level than the other two guys, so I would stick with Cam over Minshew and Stafford.
Follow him on Twitter, buy his name, and check out his work, obviously, CBSSports.com, one of the best in the business. He is Jamie Eisenberg, and we appreciate you joining us every week. Jamie, thank you.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks, guys.